about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And
you don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
One of the things that happens that either cements that kind of thinking or works against that kind of thing has to do with what you practice.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, bias and behavior.
I mean, I think we have to recognize the fact that all of us form judgments about other people that are based on a long evolutionary history that have to do with who's in the tribe and who's not. And we base those judgments often on things that are the most salient. So all those things that are readily apparent do cause my brain to respond differently. Now the question is, how does that now leak into my behavior and my thinking about that person? But there are many interesting ways of assessing what people may describe as latent perceptual ideas, those kinds of things. There's a very prominent thing called the implicit association test. It was developed by scholars at Harvard and Washington. Was that the other? Yeah. And basically what it does is test how long it takes you to respond to various combinations of things, some of which are consistent with seeing all people the same and some of which are not. And what is found pretty consistently is that even the most egalitarian people who have a very accepting view nevertheless pair things in traditional ways. I'll say that traditional meaning, not necessarily good, but traditional meaning, you know, women are more likely to be thought of as a nurse than as a microbiologist, or males are more likely to be thought of as a doctor than as a nurse. I mean, those kinds of things, right? So that stuff is there. Right. The question is, how do you practice behaving in relationship to that? Right. I mean, we have many conversations on our campus about gender equity in salaries. We do not have gender equity in salaries on this campus. We talk about it all the time. People say, why is that? Why can that be? And people who will attest with great vigor that, of course, I see women as equally capable as men in my field, whatever that happens to be. Yet, when put in situations where, for example, they see two resumes, two curriculum vitas that are relatively comparable, but one has a female name and one has a male name, they will often respond to them differently, even though sincerely they believe, I don't do that. I don't think that way. So I think one of the things that happens that either cements that kind of thinking or works against that kind of thing has to do with what you practice in your verbalizations and in your behavior. And I think one of the things that's happened in the current political climate, if people are able to practice saying misogynist things or bigoted things or those kinds of things, well, then that becomes more a part of their thinking than if they weren't practicing that. Yeah. Now whether that leads to, you know, actions or inaction or whatever, that's a related but different question. But yeah, certainly the rehearsal of ideas affects the strength of their presence.
So we're in a political climate in which people are railing against political correctness and trying to remove some of the strictures on public speech. And as a result of that, I think there is some more racist and sexist language in public discourse than what we've heard in, you know, over the previous 20 or 25 years. And I think there's a legitimate question, does that reflect something that's always been going on under the surface or not? The question really is, what does it really mean to say going on under the surface?
Yeah.
And this gets back, I mean, this is why I think Bob's description of the implicit association test is so nice, because what it demonstrates is something fundamental about what it really means for something to be going on under the surface.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of us have this belief about the unconscious, that it's really complex and interesting. And that, you know, so you might have some inner racist who's walking around all the time spewing hate inside, and then you don't let that person out. The fact is, we don't really have little people walking around inside of us who are acting in that complex way. What we have instead is a network of connections among concepts in memory. And some of those concepts end up relating to particular groups more than others. And so if I have relatively more positive associations to white people and relatively more negative associations to black people, let's say, that does not mean that I have someone inside who's running around saying racist things. It says something much more subtle than that, and in many ways much more pernicious than that, which is what Bob was getting at, which is that under the surface, because I have these associations, when I'm then confronted by a member of a group for which I have negative associations, I will begin to make somewhat more negative assessments of them. And because it involves these associations that are really not that consciously accessible, I'm not even aware of the source of the information that's causing that judgment.
Yeah. And you know what? What's interesting about the way many, any kinds of discriminatory feelings toward other groups of people or classes of people or categories of people, one of the reasons they persist is that generally the people who we're thinking about in that way are people with whom we don't interact on a regular basis, or certainly we don't interact positively with them on a regular basis. And when you don't interact with people who you think about as being part of a category, you have no dissonance for all of the misperceptions that you might have, because you have the misperception and you rehearse it in your memory, you rehearse it perhaps when you talk with other people, and you never know anything about it.
Next week, we'll continue to talk about bias and behavior when we take up where Dr. Duke left off thinking about the psychology of dissonance. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, and check out an archive at KUT.org along with a bunch of other information about the show. David Alvarez is our engineer. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.